Van Morning Show. What's up, 590 in the van? Blake Murphy. Ailish Porfar. JD Buckus. Give them a follow. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them. The Fan Morning Show. It's very easy. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, our pal, former NHL forward, current Sportsnet analyst, Colby Armstrong. How are you this morning, man?
Oh, what's going on? We got some sun shining here. I'm in Pittsburgh. It's like the sun is rarely shining here. It's rarely shining, so I feel good. Do we share similar like weather? I feel Toronto. It's only like a little bit of ways away.
It's way better here.
You guys get
way better here.
Not familiar with there. Pittsburgh climate. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know it's better.
I think it's fairly similar.
You lived here.
I don't want to talk about
it. Here. You know it's way better here.
Why'd you bring it up if you don't want to talk about it?
One thing. Yeah. Well, yeah,
I was talking about the weather. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the exact same temperature here today as there, if that helps at all.
Okay. Look at us in sync. One thing that you guys have down south that we apparently don't have up here is celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Is that something that you're doing today?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be big. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a dad. Like, I barely got my kids out the door for school. I have no clue what I'm doing. Like, put your hand up in the air, parents listening right now, if you did the exact same thing. Guaranteed everyone has their hands up. But yeah, I will. I will celebrate.
Okay, good.
I will probably, you know, you got to.
I have a couple little margs, maybe a little spicy marg action.
I like that. A couple margs. I'll do that.
You're a dad, and so I figured you related to Malkin the other. Did you see Malkin after the triple overtime game when he got interviewed by for his post-game availability?
Yeah, I probably saw. Why? What did he do? What did he say?
Here, this is what he had. I'm kind of throwing it right away, but he gets asked about, or he gets told.
Does he
gets
say
told
like
by
a
the
thousand
interview.
Times?
No. This is the In the Tunnel interview where the reporter ends up going, I think he says, sleep well tonight or something to Malkin, and this was his response. Oh, he doesn't have it yet? Okay, so never mind. He doesn't have it. But either way, Malkin just listens, goes and goes, yeah, and just walks away. I've never seen anyone that tired in my entire life. Okay, so back to Leafs. Triple overtime, who cares about your team? All we care about here is the Leafs. We don't really care about any of the other series. Was last night's game more about Tampa or more about the Leafs for you?
I think it was more about Tampa. I think the Leafs played okay. I think they were all right. And you know what? I thought it was going to be like over early too, with the penalties early to Tampa Bay. I was like, oh, what are they doing? Too many men on the ice, and then Maroon like runs into Campbell. I was like, this game is going to be put to bed with this Leafs power play. But somehow they battled out of it. And like I think we knew Tampa was going to be better, right? Like they couldn't be possibly as bad as they were the game one. Like they were not good. Kucherov didn't sweat. He couldn't make a pass. Like they just were not even close. And, you know, they fought their way into the series again and executed. What did Hedman have, like 4 points? I mean, like crazy big man, big game, scoring with like 2 seconds left of the period. They got themselves back going again. So I think they're a little bit more awake. I will say it's probably a little bit more of Tampa for the overall picture of the game. Mm-hmm. But I think the Leafs have something that they can take from the end of that game where, you know, they push themselves, you know, back at the end. I think it would have been bigger if Tampa would have kept their foot on them and kind of just squeezed them just for your psyche and, you know, whatever. I know a loss is a loss, but trust me, like guys build off these little things, and they started to kind of, you know, push for a little bit of a, you know, a little comeback at the end. And I think that, you know, that the silver lining out of this game, the Leafs kind of got something out of the loss. They got a little bit of something out of the loss.
Yeah, because we've been talking about whether momentum's actually real game to game in a playoff series, but that's a good point. And I think that if you are going to point to one indicator of there actually being a sign of that so far through that series, like if we're going to go with be encouraged by the Leafs, it's that Tampa didn't look themselves until they got that bounce, right? Like they did look a little off still on the PK. They get the bounce and finally they settle in and go, oh, okay, like we can get one in, right? We're the Tampa Bay Lightning. All of a sudden, Hedman starts snapping passes. Points, feet are going like one of the best guys in the league.
No, wasn't that noticeable?
Oh, yeah. It was very... As someone who is emotionally invested in the Toronto Maple Leafs, Braden Point was very noticeable. Like, he was noticeable.
Yeah, and especially after the... He started buzzing, hey?
Yeah. I liked it more when Braden Point
You're
didn't
irritated.
Play.
Is he irritating you? It sounds like you're highly irritated. Well, I can tell you're highly invested also, just because I messaged you for something stupid, like a connecting you with someone else, and you didn't message me back for like a day and a half. You're like, I was at the Leafs. Sorry, buddy, I didn't get back to you. I was at the Leafs game 2 days ago.
I was just watching. I wasn't even there. I was just dialed in. I was just watching the game. Here's the thing, man. There haven't been that many great moments to be a Leafs fan since I was in literally high school. And you know this as well. So having that game one was a night where it was a little fun, and then potentially there were a couple of celebratory drinks after that one, just to say, hey, that was fun. Yeah. Beating the brakes off Tampa Bay Lightning was fun. Yesterday, less so. And yeah, Point was amazing. Hedman got going. And I thought Kucherov looked lost until all of a sudden they're up a couple of goals. And then he's a front runner. So he started looking like himself. Now he's got his edges. Now he's, you know, ripping pucks. And he's making those little plays. And
I feel
like he's the guy that you can rattle in this series. Like, if there's the number one guy I have faith in, if Tampa's losing, he's going to do the dumb stuff like he did in Columbus that one year where he gets suspended for doing something dumb.
Because he looks like he's irritated with the first round. He's like, oh, the first round. I don't care about the first round. Like, I'll be ready at the second round.
Dude, some of the plays that he has made so far this series, I'm like, if I was a Tampa fan, I'd be losing my mind. Like, if William Nylander made some of the pass attempts that Kucherov has made so far this series, Leaf fans, it would be like a full meltdown civil war between the Nylander fans and the non-Nylander fans.
Yeah, but then he turns it on, and he's doing it. He does that little fake one-timer pop pass to the middle. That's like, I don't know, how do you stop that? It's like either it's a one-timer, or it's a seam to Stamkos, or it's a little fake slapper down on one knee, pop pass to Point in the middle. I don't know. So when he turns it on and it's clicking, I mean, it's clicking, man. So I think both teams know, though. I think both teams know it's going to be a long series. And I think Tampa Bay got their world rocked, that it's going to, you know, it's not the Leafs of the past, or like, you know, the Leafs, you can just come in and one bad thing happens and they fold and you got them. You know, I think there's like a different Leafs team, and I think Tampa's realizing that. I think, you know, I think it's going to be a long series.
I'm fully with you. I guess I'm a little bothered by the idea of, I think the Leafs might have been able to just go up 2-0 and that they had their foots on them and they didn't let up and they looked great. And then Tampa gets that bounce and then penalties start to go their way and the game unravels the way that it did. But that 1.4 seconds left Hedman goal, I'm going to think about that forever if the Leafs lose this series, because it felt like they had them again. And I wanted you to kind of weigh in on just like how much just one bounce going your way can change the mindset of a hockey team.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, it woke Tampa Bay up, actually. Like, that one little bounce. And it's always, you know, you watch, you know, especially good teams, and, you know, they wait, they could be in trouble. And then it's like, even one shift, one bounce, like one minuscule little thing. And that's why, like, I've played for, you know, coaches, and I've had a couple like, oh, there's no such thing as momentum. We hear it all the time, right? Like, you've heard that saying, people like poo-poo momentum. I just think it's like, how do you do that when you, like, are you not watching the same sports or game or ever seen anything like this? Because there's definitely momentum swings. There's definitely let-ups or, you know, a team that just kind of takes over and dominates. But there's that goal at the end of the period out of nowhere was like the littlest bounce that Tampa kind of needed to kind of swing their mind. I guess it's a mindset, right? Swing like their individual mindset to being like, okay, here we go. Now we're settled in. And I mean, that was huge. Yeah. I just like what it hit, like three different legs and skates and like kicked right. Like, I think Hedman was surprised that he got it. And Campbell was so surprised he just, like, fell over to the side.
Yeah, I don't know what Campbell was doing on that play. I gotta say, I've watched it, like, five times now, and I'm like, what was Campbell thinking there? He's just like, I'll stack the pads. I don't know.
Somebody said it was like when you play NHL on, like, your Xbox and you can control the goaltender and you, like, jolt him one way. That's it, like, what it looked like.
You meant to push the butterfly button and you push like pad stack by accident and he just fell. Yeah. Die. That's funny.
That's funny. Oh, God. Okay, so speaking about momentum.
So hold on. I got to ask you guys. Can I ask you guys a question? Because you guys are like Leaf super fans. Ailish, let me ask you.
Sure.
Like, how do you feel about you guys?
I don't like the way you said that, okay.
No, I want to know how like the real Leaf Nation feels about, you know, okay, 1-1, you know, Tampa's job was to get a win, you know, split it, bring it home. How do you feel about now going to Tampa Bay? Crowd will be rocking. They're back home.
It's just like another home game for the Leafs, though.
In Tampa?
You don't get the joke, eh?
They're gonna...
No Tampa fans? Leafs fans? Tampa?
They're going to... I don't get the joke. They're gonna...
Yeah, she's got to really lay it out for Colby. It's like a lot of people in Florida.
How Leaf it fans, works is Leaf fans love to go and live in Tampa and go to games. So the game might have...
They won't let them go to the game.
Yeah,
when they do that,
they just
Tampa?
Wear a blue and white jersey. They don't know the difference.
Yeah.
So kick them out of the game in Tampa.
Okay, so your question is how do we feel going down there? Okay. You know, I
now that
I
Tampa
think that,
got life.
Yeah, Tampa has life, no doubt about it. I didn't think that it would be a breeze through, but I do feel like what you said about a little bit of the pushback the Leafs had at the end of that game, if we do believe that maybe you can have a positive from that, hey, that was one. I definitely want to see more out of Campbell. You know, you're playing against the number one goaltender in the world across from you. You can't have little mistakes like that, but the biggest thing that we were going to touch on, and I'm sure JD has thoughts on this too, and Blake, but is you got to see more from the secondary depth of this team. And that's the biggest concern I have going down to Tampa is Matthews and Marner have looked great. Like they've erased those playoff demons so far in two games, but where's everybody else, right? So I think that is the little bit of anxiety I'm having is two games in a row of two very important players being ghosts. You gotta bring yourselves to Tampa Bay if you're Tavares and Nylander.
Yeah, and I think I've noticed Nylander a bit, but not enough. And, like, you know, I think I've noticed, you know, Kerfoot way more than Nylander, though. You know, way more. Kerfoot's, like, buzzing. Kerfoot's, like, fully involved.
Buddy,
really
Stewie and I argue about Kerfoot literally once a week and all season long, and he's just trouncing me right now. Like, it's really painful times for me. Listen, if there's one guy you don't want to just pound you into dust, it's Stewie, and I'm just getting eviscerated right now. I'm getting eviscerated because Kerfoot is looking great. No, I'm not a anything. I'm not an individual player, you know, like that kind of guy at all. Yeah, I know. Stewie's whatever. I can imagine. No, I've been taking it on the chin as I have to, right? But you're right. Kerfoot looks like a playoff guy. I said, you know, just Nylander more, but that's because he's an awesome skater who can carry the puck through the zone. Yeah. So when he does that, you go, oh, there's that guy. He's so smooth, but you don't notice Tavares as much because he's staying in front of the net.
No.
But the problem is, Kipper said it best. That guy needs to be more noticeable above the hash marks, right? Like that below him, you can see him, and the rest of the game, you're like, where the hell is Tavares? But if you're asking me, like, how am I feeling? There's two ways of looking at this, right? A split against Tampa going into this, you'd say, oh, yeah, I'd take that. This is going to be a 7-game series. It's how you split it. And I hate that they gave them life. I hate that the Leafs essentially gave them a game, it felt like. I felt like Tampa stole that game and that Toronto's better. And the weird thing is I'm like, I kind of think that the Leafs are the better hockey team, but Tampa does have that experience where I just don't think they're going to let games like that slip away from them. And Toronto did.
Yeah.
And in a series against the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, that's the thing that's kind of like sneaky haunting me right now is I'm going, man, if Simmons stays out of the box and they don't take that 3-1 goal, I think Toronto comes back, they win, and they're in Tampa's heads. And now it's the other way around where we're talking about Tavares and Nylander and Campbell, and they're the guys who have to prove it again.
Yeah, it was just like, it was like moments through the game where I think Tampa was able to execute and grab it or got a bounce and it was set up, or like the Leafs gave it to them a little bit with situational stuff like a power play or a bad penalty. But there's no question, I feel, in watching right now that like the Leafs are the better team.
Yes.
I think. And like I watch it and I'm like, whoa, like yeah, I could see this being a long series for sure, but and I knew Tampa would be better, and I had a feeling Tampa was going to win game two after, like, the brutal game one. But I was, like, I still watched it going, like, even though, like, Tampa scored, Tampa was up, Tampa got the lead, some of their big boys got going, I still, like, the overall picture of the game in my head goes, like, the Leafs were pushing still. The Leafs were playing pretty good. So, I mean, I think the psyche of your team, like if I'm in that Leafs room, like the psyche of this team is like feeling pretty good. Like, hey, listen, like we, you know, clean up a few things, you know, a couple penalties. Okay. Like, listen, this playoffs, like, you know, we've got them. Like, our play is good. I'm pretty happy with what we've been able to do with these guys. You know, this back-to-back team looks like human. Like we, like it's not like they're like head and shoulders above us and we're trying to, you know, slay the monster here. So I think there's definitely probably some pretty good vibes in there. And you're right too. I think some of those middle of the pack guys, I shouldn't say Tavares is in there, but even like, you know, the Engvall's kind of like was a beast down the stretch, and he's kind of like, awesome. I don't notice him as much, you know, right now. So maybe he's just got to get comfortable and get his game going and start to, you know, be a horse, contribute, hang on to pucks. And, you know, but yeah, Stewie owns you. Kerfoot's on fire. Kerfoot's buzzing.
Stewie owns me in perpetuity too, because it's two straight playoffs now, like where it's like, oh yeah, no, he looks, you know, it's like he looks like a stud two straight playoffs. So you can't even bring up regular season stuff, right? You just go, hey, he's clutch. Yeah. He looks good in the playoffs. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll just shut up.
I thought Bunting was obviously, you play with good players, you're going to be noticed and like things are going to happen. But he plays with a certain edge also to his game, which like lends himself to like playoffs, I think. So, you know, you get him going, his feet wet a little bit more. I think he obviously a big add. I think not only with his ability, but like emotionally too, to the lineup. He looked like he jumped right in, didn't stick his foot in the water and feel it out. He went right in. So he's that kind of guy.
So Bunting back in the lineup obviously brings a little bit of that gritty play that we were looking for, but they already have that. And that's been kind of a focus throughout the first two games, is this physicality and this, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em in the corners. And the fourth line has certainly been tasked with doing that almost to a fault. So what do you make of someone like a Simmons having the type of impact he did last night, where it seems like his entire MO is to go out there and mess people up, to a point where, okay, he got two penalties, the other team scored two goals and they lose by two goals, and he's weighing that heavily on his shoulders after the game, plus the Clifford incident in game one. How do you balance that as a fourth liner? Like, you want to go in there and bring that energy, but you can't be a fault to your own team. Like, what do the Leafs do with that come game three?
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of it too is like, you know, we're expecting violence, you know, and I know that internally, externally, you say something, internally, you feel another way. But and the Leafs are, you know, generally, you know, told they're soft all the time and they don't play playoff hockey. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, that there with them. And I think Wayne, you know, Simmons is a guy that's like, you know, we'll show you, like, we're not, like, listen, like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to push back. Like, we're going to be in your face. We're going to dictate. And you know, there's a fine line, right? And I'm surprised too. Like, are you guys not too with the, like, a penalty is a penalty, okay? But like in the playoffs, like they've been calling it really regular season-y, I would say. Is that, would you not agree? Like,
listen,
a lot of the stuff, like, I'm like,
brutal.
Okay, like, I know, I'm just like, oh, like really in the playoffs? Come on, you know, like, and like, you know, I see other people are like, call the rules, good, yay. And I'm like, oh God.
So,
but, there's a little bit of that fine line balancing and understanding, you know, it is the playoffs, but they're keeping it pretty tight. So I think there's a, you know, a little bit of a self-conscious, like, hey, we're tough type of vibe from those guys. But what Bunting brought is he brought like that spicy, like he was chirping. You see him? He was chirping. He was yelling at guys. He's fired up. He took a penalty. He didn't do anything. He's yelling like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was hilarious. But he's like, He's a guy that can play. He's a guy that's there. He's going to get good minutes. He's going to be in important spots, but he brings that complimentary fire, and I think those kind of guys are really important.
Yeah, he's been great, or he was great last night, but I think Simmons is having a tough time as someone who has been told this is your job, everything that you just said.
Yeah.
And he has played playoff hockey before where they have called the rules differently, and he's doing things like hitting a guy in front of the net after a whistle and saying, "What are you talking about? This is just literally what we do every time." And they're going, "No, man, you got to adjust." And he didn't adjust, and that's his own fault. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, they were calling it ticky-tack in game one. It shouldn't be a surprise that they called it ticky-tack in game two. And I know it. I don't like it. Like, I have Christopher Steve going, "This is the greatest thing," in my text, you know, like, "Oh, they're calling the rules. The rules are the rules. All the little guys are going to play now. Yay. The league's going this way. Yay. No more toughness. Oh, yeah. It's so sick." Oh, Versteeg just nonstop. Oh, no. It's brutal. I can't stand it. This is the world he wants to live in, where there's no touching in hockey. It's just like, you know, only shooting and only passing, and then that's it. And that's the game. You know?
I love that guy.
Yeah. So do I, except for it's not his takes. His takes are different. You got to adjust, and they haven't adjusted. And frankly, I can't put the faith in Simmons' hands to figure it out in game three, because you can't lose two in a row to Tampa here. Like, not like that.
He will.
You can't do that. Sheldon Keefe, you got to go Spezza. You got to go Spezza straight up. You got to be like, "Yep, no, we're the skilled team. We're the fast team. Who cares if people say we're soft? Sometimes we can be a little soft. Like, who cares?" But you know what's going to be way better? Winning games. Just win. Like, don't staying out of the penalty box and winning games is what I would rather have.
Yeah, I think there can be adjustment. I think if you want to keep him in, I think it's a fine choice. Like, I think there just needs to be a little bit of adjustment there.
What does him and Clifford do, though, if it's like, you know, because they're not fast enough to really be in on teams with a hard, heavy forecheck, right? Like, they're always kind of chasing the game a little bit when they're out there. It's scrums in front of the net. They're there to be like, "We're face-washing somebody. We're cross-checking somebody."
Well, the Leafs aren't like a forecheck team. I mean, it's kind of handcuffs the guys that play like that with the style of play that they have. There's no question. So it's a little bit... a little bit harder when those guys have that X factor that they can provide that. And it's like, we're going to hang on to pucks. We're a controlled entry team. We don't do that. We don't like just lay them in there and go get it. Like, rarely, almost, you know? So it's a little bit harder. So you take them when you can get them, and you just have to make an adjustment in the times that you can kind of get pieces of guys or get in people's faces or, you know, provide that a little bit. And, you know, he's been burnt. He got burned last game, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure he got burned. So, better decisions. I think those guys are effective in the lineup, though. I think they're important guys, and just a little bit better adjustment with it, with what they're doing right now with the calls.
So, I'm wondering if, like, we've got to let you go, but I'm wondering if you checked in on any of the guys on the Pens after triple OT and how they're feeling today, because it just feels like we're going to watch the third or the second period of tonight's Penguins Rangers game, and everybody's gonna be like, it's like all these guys are gonna be just way too tired.
I gotta say, after the first period, I was like, this series is over. The Rangers are gonna steamroll. I'm like, too physical, too fast. And then it flipped. And honestly, I'd say the Pens looked like they had more energy through the overtimes too. And
they did.
You know, it was that game had everything. So. There's no question game two is going to be a disappointment maybe to game one, because it was like everything happened. But I don't know. Like, I think these two teams match up so well against each other. And then and I think when they're both on, it's obviously really close games, as we saw in game one. But even during the season when they were both healthy and both playing their best, it was like a 1-0 game. So I expect it to be super close again tonight for the Pens and Rangers. But game one was insane. But like everything, Louis Domingue, spicy pork and broccoli comes in.
Yeah.
In overtime, I'm going, oh my God, what is happening here? So how many e-bug warnings have we had around the league already too? It's just insane so far.
JD hates e-bugs, so don't even say
I do hate e-bugs. I think it's lame, but I liked Louis Domingue.
Did you like that other guy in Dallas guy?
No, of course
he had a
not.
Good interview. I like the interview.
I hated it.
I love the e-bug interviews.
I love it too, Colby. We're
no,
fun
but he
people.
Likes it.
That's why.
No, he thinks it's funny because all the e-bugs think they're a part of the team now. Where they're like, I look around and see the guys in this room. It's like, come on, what are we doing here, man? You're a school teacher.
I love that e-bug. He's like, yeah, I moved. I started hockey when I was 12. And some guys thought I was good at goalie, so that I started doing goalie lessons. And I don't have one eye. I don't have vision in my one eye. Like I was like, oh my God, this guy's a hero. This guy is a hero.
I know that's. I knew your spin on that was not going to be the one that I thought it was going to be. And yeah, I think I'd be pretty pleased if I was a Penguins fan though, just because that was a lot of minutes on Shesterkin and watching him in the net in that third period. Like that, you know, like that dude was laboring, and for the workload that he carried this year and how they were putting Gorgiev in the net all those times because they were worried about how much he was going to play. I went, hey, is there? I love Casey DeSmith because he plays disc golf, so he's a legend. But I don't know. Yeah, he's a legend. Oh. Disc golf legend. Like, truly one of the best disc golfers. Yeah, and so he's my guy, but I don't know if there's a huge drop-off between him and Louis Domingue. Louis came in, he looked awesome. He made that big pad save early. They made a mistake.
They threw
pucks on net thinking, oh, maybe one gets through. But no, they let him get comfy, and then he made some saves. He felt like he was a part of the game. It backfired 100%. I just don't think the Penguins are relying on goaltending the way that the Rangers are. And now the Rangers have their MVP, who just played 3 hockey games, you know, in one night. We'll see how he bounces back, man. We'll see how he bounces back.
He was so good, though. Like, it was.
Yeah, he was. He's amazing.
This Shesterkin is amazing, man. Just incredible what he's able to do. But talk about those mental little bombs, right? Those mental things through a series, and like the Pens, they came back, they settled in, they pushed back, and I don't know what the Rangers got to be thinking right now.
They got to be annoyed. They got to be thinking, we need this game. Colby, thanks for coming on, buddy. And I don't like how much joy was in your voice when you were talking about the Leafs in that game, but I'm going to let it go, because you're a good guy.
I don't have joy.
I heard it.
I do love coming on with you guys, though. Thank you. I do love – I love talking playoff hockey. Like, isn't it better? Way better than like, hey man, welcome to the show. It's December 2nd. Yeah. It's like, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, you can have takes, and you can't say, "Well, it's a long season," because it's like, no, it's not. It's now, all right, go take care of the kids. Wow, they just all came through.
Yeah, you were
like,
"Dad,
oh, yeah, like, Dad, it's time for us." You're okay.
I'm like the
Cinco de Mayo.
I'm like the. Have you seen the movie Sing and the pig?
No.
The lady that's the pig.
She's. No. We don't
she
have
has
kids.
Like, oh, all these, she has like 100 kids because she's a pig, you know? Like, they have like a bunch of babies.
That's you, a pig with 100 kids.
Yeah.
100%. All right. See you later, Piggy. We'll talk to you soon. Colby Armstrong, one of the best. Playoff hockey, very, very good. What else is very good is keeping the conversation rolling with Rick Tocchet, former NHL forward and head coach, analyst for TNT. What does Sheldon Keefe have to do with Wayne Simmonds? We'll find out from someone who has actually made those decisions. Rick Tocchet, next.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. Thanks for kicking around with us all day on this Baby Friday. Baby Friday. The Leafs tied 1-1 in their series with the Tampa Bay Lightning after losing 5-3 last night. Things look good for a game, but they may have been cursed. We'll ask our first guest, or our last guest, rather, about it. It's former NHL forward and former NHL head coach, 1992 Stanley Cup champion, NHL on TNT analyst, Rick Tocchet. How are you this morning, man?
Really good. I'll tell you what, that's good warm-up music you guys just played before you guys came on. That's the stuff we used to skate out to. That's where you get your heart pumping.
How many times have you heard that song in your life? A million? A million times?
A million times. I don't hear that on today's playlist for the players. It's a lot of the rap and stuff, but I like to hear that stuff, man. You'll get your team going with that music.
Personally, I just want to hear more Holland Oates for the Leafs home games, because that's usually the sign something good has happened. Rick, so I mentioned that you are part of the NHL on TNT crew. You also made an appearance last night on the Inside the NBA on TNT crew, and we need your take on something. So you bring the Stanley Cup to Shaq and Kenny and Ernie and Charles, and Charles Barkley, who never won an NBA championship himself, refuses to touch the Stanley Cup and says, I would never touch a championship trophy. That's obviously some athlete superstition there. Ailish Forfar, our co-host, had a moment with the Stanley Cup prior to the playoffs, and she was hugging it. She was smooching it.
I was not smooching it.
By the way, she played pro hockey, Rick. Like, she should know better,
Rick,
too. Like, it's not like she doesn't know.
Fools. Put my arm around it.
That's okay. That's okay, he says. You can hug it and kiss it. I think what the thing is, don't, like, lift it over your shoulders. I guess that's the, you know.
Thank you.
That's what they say.
Thank you for clarifying. Because
I don't think you're allowed.
Yes.
What I said
I
was,
have
you
to
know
tell
what?
You guys. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go.
No, I was just going to say, when we had the Cup at TNT, it's a big station there, and the NBA people, like, there's a lot of employees. There are about 50 or 75 employees taking pictures, and they're all hugging and kissing it. So it's that thing just attracts everything. I don't care if it's NBA, the baseball, like, everybody wants to see it. So it was fun to bring it there on the set.
I said another reason that I was okay touching it is because for 50 whatever years, nobody here in Leafs Nation has touched it, and it's been cursed that way. So you have to reverse the jinx by touching it and getting past the ghosts, and you reverse the cycle. I don't know. If they win, it could be up to me because I touched it. So thank you to everybody.
That's good. That's very good. I'm not buying it. Nice try. Nice try by you. But either way, I actually like picturing now, after Rick spoke about it, is someone trying to hoist it above their head and dropping it in front of the guy who carries it everywhere with the white gloves, the way that he'd be feeling about that. I think he'd full on tackle you. Okay, so Rick, the coaching matchup has been a big, big, big point of consternation. It's been one that's been talked about from the very beginning. Sheldon Keefe comes out, he talks about how he's expecting violence. Well, it was his team that did it, because it's Kyle Clifford that gets a major, gets a suspension in game one. That's 5 minutes. And then it's his guy, Wayne Simmonds, taking two huge penalties last night, both after the whistle, both kind of scrum penalties, different era not penalties maybe. This era, they end up being them. Does Sheldon Keefe need to make an adjustment with his roster? Does he need to make an adjustment with his mindset and his style of play heading into game three?
Yeah, I think I do like his message. You're going against the Stanley Cup champs, so you want your team to play aggressive. You want them to be – but there's some part, and I'm sure, everybody's going to talk about it today. Wayne Simmonds, you can't – I know, some people kind of complain about the penalties, but today's era, you're going to call that. You're coming in late. Refs are looking for it. They've been instructed. Those are two huge penalties. You kind of give Tampa life. I think when Tampa scored that goal with 2 seconds left with Hedman, I think everybody breathed a little bit, and you saw Tampa start to.
Yep.
It was almost like, oh, okay, we got that one in. But yeah, lineup change. I think you might see a lineup change going into Tampa. Maybe, I don't want to be too jerk reaction, but I think maybe you put Spezza in for Simmonds, or you maybe switch something like that up. I could see Sheldon doing that.
Yeah, well, it's tough, right? Because you look at things that have impacted you, and yeah, Tampa, you're right. Everyone, we've all said that about, hey, a bounce started to go your way, and Tampa didn't look right in that game, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's on Hedman's stick, and he's got basically a wide-open net, and they were a completely different team from that point forward. But you have to control the things that you can control, and to me right now, that's sort of seemingly it. Is there anything else in the coaching matchup so far that you have noticed where you've been very impressed by, or that has stuck out to you in particular?
Well, the fact of the matter for me is, if the Leafs, like I would just say an overall judgment for me, if the Leafs could keep the penalties at 4 or less or 3 or less, still playing aggressive and still have that transition game, I still think that Tampa's been struggling with the counterattack by the Leafs. So if they can continue to have that in their favor, but play really good, defense and stay out of the box. I mean, you saw game one. That was the recipe. They got by that 5-minute major. They're killing. Their energy level is incredible. I didn't think, them scoring those two late goals to get back in the game, that really impressed me and makes me real feel comfortable as a coach, because they didn't give up. But matchup-wise, they're going to want to get their – guys are getting, so they're going to have the, Kupla's going to have his last change, you know, Sorelli, guys like that. Point's going to probably be in more of a shutdown role going into Tampa. But I wouldn't change too much. And I wouldn't over, I'd overlook this game as a game. You know, Tampa was going to come. We just didn't match with the Super Penalties. That's really what it comes down to.
Rick, you mentioned that, hey, the penalty kill looked good in game one. They kill off that 5 minute. They kill off a bunch of penalties the whole game. Did you see anything tactical that Tampa Bay changed on their power play to have so much more success in game two over game one? Or is it just one of those things where it's going to ebb and flow over a playoff series?
Well, great question, because I thought, you know, Tampa's power play was lackadaisical. Kucherov was really, you know, he had a really tough game. Kucherov's one of the best half wall guys, and what they adjusted on, they really took that middle away last game, and Kucherov was trying to hit those seam passes, which he's one of the best at, but the Leafs did a good job. I called that T intersection. They didn't let anything go through the middle. If you watch Kucherov scoring that goal, kind of opened everything up, then they find Point on that other power play goal in the middle. So I think Kucherov shooting, taking that puck in the middle and that one shot he scored, the Leafs probably gonna not be able to give him that shot. That was a little bit too loose on that. I thought last game they gave him a shot outside the dot. So I think a little bit of change there. They'll probably try to maybe take that shot away. But you also got to protect the middle, because Point or Stamkos, when that one-timer is one of their options. So just basically I'd be a little bit more aggressive on Kucherov, where he won't be able to shoot the puck.
So Kucherov, it's great that you brought him up. It's a guy that we've mentioned a few times throughout the series. Game one, it was pretty disastrous from him. There was just moment after moment where he didn't look like himself. Game two, thought that he started that way, but again, they end up getting the lead. They end up getting more power plays, and guess what happens? He eventually settles in and starts to look like that half-wall guy that you mentioned. He starts to get to the middle of the ice, starts to do the things that go Kucherov, and you go, oh, right, that's why he's who that guy is. The counter side of that for the Leafs is they had their top guys going, much like we saw Point get going, Hedman going, Matthews and Marner, those two guys have gotten going. The Leafs have yet to have very many scoring chances from John Tavares, only one in that game. How do you get him more involved in this game? What do you need to see from the Leafs captain? Because it really does feel like they need his scoring if they're going to win this series.
Yeah, it's a good point, but I don't want to put, like, you know, obviously there's pressure in the playoffs and there's pressure here to score, but he's the X factor for me, because, you know, Tampa's obviously going to take Marner and Matthews away. So you need that secondary scoring. He has to score. Obviously he's got, you know, he always does play good D and he's a 200-foot guy. But if the Leafs are going to win this series, he's going to have to come up big with some goals. To me, the matchups, like, he's got to probably, you know, he's going to get the weaker defense going into Tampa. So he's going to have to convert on his chances. How do you do that? For me, continue going to the net. I mean, the old adage, stay in the middle and stuff like that. But he's going to have to find the back of the net, and there's going to be a little pressure on him. I know when Pittsburgh, when we won the back-to-back cups, our secondary scoring was really big for us winning. And if you don't get him going, it's going to be really tough. You just can't rely on Matthews and Marner to carry the team.
Another reason that Tavares seems to not be getting in there as much is he's not a PKer. So he sits and he waits, and then when he does get in, maybe he's a little bit out of the play. So the penalties and the amount of time that both teams have spent with special teams have been certainly a conversation. You've coached. You know that it's difficult to expect physicality out of people, yet not be able to control what the refs are doing. What do you make of just the way you have to play in a series like this, where the whistles are the whistles, you don't have any say in it, but you need your team to be able to ride those highs and lows?
First of all, great point by you. Like, as the hardest thing for a coach is when your team takes penalties and you got really good players sitting on the bench for 3, 4, 5 minutes at a time. You know, that's the hardest part, because guys get out of the flow of the game. You're trying to get your guys on the ice, then the other guys don't get on. So it really is tough. It's a mental toughness, too, as a player sitting there for 4 minutes and, your number's called and you got your legs going again. And then you take another penalty. That's the hardest thing, because you can take a guy like Tavares out of the game because he doesn't penalty kill. I just think that's the biggest key for me is, I don't want the Leafs to change. Like, they got to play aggressive. You know, they got to finish their checks. They got to, anytime Hedman passes the puck out of a breakout, every person's got to hit him. You know, I don't know if you watched the Edmonton game last night. Draisaitl and McDavid were finishing their checks. Like, you could just tell that's okay. That's good. It's just the stuff at the end, or, you know, a guy trailing, hitting, like Simmons, like the refs are going to call that. You know, Don Kowarski's part of our staff. We had dinner last night. We were watching the game, and they go, you know, they're instructed to they're going to take any kind of scrum, you know, guy hitting from behind, even though it doesn't seem that much, they're going to take it. That's what they've been instructed to call. So your team can't do it. Just, you know, you just tell the team before, you're not allowed to do that. But that doesn't mean you can't finish your check on Hedman or Kucherov every single time. There's a difference for me.
There absolutely is. And I think that some of the Leafs players have done a great job with it. Like, they brought in Lyubushkin to be physical, and he's been physical in the series, but he hasn't taken one of those dumb after the scrum penalties. Like, he's been smart about it. I think that your best players dictate everything still, and I've loved that Matthews has been more physical. Like, yeah, McDavid was finishing his checks. The Leafs got a goal last night because Austin Matthews was on a forecheck, nailed somebody, forced a turnover, and created a goal. And so I think, of course, you can be physical. You just can't be dumb, and you certainly, if you're down the lineup, once the calls are going that way, you can't be costing your team's penalties, because it's like, man, it's one thing if you're Mitch Marner and you take a bad penalty. It's another thing if you're a fourth liner right now. And I don't know how they can continue moving forward with this. Okay, so we think the calls, the whistles, they're huge. And the way that you adjust to them, obviously massive throughout a series. The secondary scoring is going to be big. Of course, special teams. Is there anything else to you, Rick, that you really, really are curious to see play out in Game 3 between these two teams?
Yeah, I want to see what Coop does, because he's got the last chance. So I'm going to really kind of watch that early on. I know, and Sheldon's really good at mixing things up. Sometimes you have to go in there and mix a few things up. Coaches have cadences. Okay, number one line, number two, number three, number four. Okay, number one, number two, number three, not number four this time. You know, there's different cadences you want players on the ice. But there's ways that he can kind of switch it up a little, maybe catch Coop on a different line change. And that doesn't usually happen a lot, but there is a percentage that you try to do. So I'm just going to look at the line matchups. And really, to me, is the physicality of next game. Who can be real physical and play the game, you know, straight line where you're not going to take penalties? I know we've been talking this for a long time with the penalties, but you really just got to, as an aggressive player, know that when you're on the ice, the ref's going to call these certain penalties that I'm going to have to stay away from. So there's really not too much more. I don't want to overanalyze this series, because it's been fun to watch. I think it's one of the fun series to watch, the way the game's been going. But, man, these power plays and penalties kills really kill the flow of a 5-on-5 game, I'll tell you that.
They sure do, and they leave us with some question marks about who the actual better team is through two games when so little of it's been played at 5-on-5. Rick Tocchet, former NHL forward and head coach, Stanley Cup champion, NHL on TNT. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning, man, and enjoy those moments with Chuck and Shaq and Ernie and them, because they seem like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, Shaq had a tough time putting that over his shoulders, too. That's from banging inside for all those years, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Not a lot of mobility left there. Rick, thanks so much, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Great questions. Bye.
Rick Tocchet, former forward head coach, cup champion, analyst. Mm-hmm. Good guy. Good. Knows his stuff because he's telling us, good question. Good question, guys.
Yeah, wow. Feel a pat on the back.
He's someone who the Leafs wanted to be a part of their coaching staff, and he's someone who obviously has a pretty good understanding of what this team is. He would have evaluated this team. He would understand this coaching staff. He would know this group really, really well. And you could hear it even with him, where you can't go away from being physical. No one's advocating for that. Like, and I don't think anybody really is misunderstanding this, so maybe I shouldn't even be breaking it down this way. But no one wants the Leafs not to respond to the physical play or to continue playing the vast majority of the way that they're playing. Do either of you have an issue with how the Leafs have looked so far? Like, no, that's not the point whatsoever.
No, it's literally the better team at 5-on-5.
It's literally just stay out of the box. And I actually think that I've brought this up, how the frustrating part is with ticky-tack calls is that you look for it both ways and it goes one and then you get one and then you get one. That wasn't the case in the last game. The Leafs were taking bad penalties, and they just lined up the Leafs for taking those calls. It was the same thing in Game 1, where they awarded the Leafs a 5-on-3 penalty. So I actually think that if you're going into this saying, oh, well, it's all going to even out in the wash, no. The team that's smarter apparently is going to end up winning these games. The team that decides not to take the unnecessary penalties is going to end up with a huge advantage because both power plays are elite. Both power plays can dominate a play. So, and both power plays have had guys that were slow starters in this series, and you just saw what it did for Tampa with Kucherov over the course of that game. Mm-hmm. You saw what it did for all of those players being able to get their cookies on the PP. So I just can't do that. I just can't take that risk if I'm Keith. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. I can't put my job in Wayne Simmons' hands. I can't put my season in the hands of a guy who's only playing 6 minutes a night. I can't say to him, I want you to be physical, but then he's wondering the entire time what's too physical and what's not, right? Same with Kyle Clifford. You're basically asking these guys to be players that they're not supposed to be at this point in their careers. And Colby mentioned it. It's not like the Leafs are some huge forecheck team or that those guys have other ways of imposing themselves in these hockey games. Those guys are there to hit. They're there to finish checks. They're there to scrum it up and grab a player on the Lightning and get into one with somebody. And right now, that's just not the path forward for this Leafs team. That is abundantly clear. So if Sheldon Keefe goes with Wayne Simmons and he goes with Kyle Clifford in Game 3, boy, it better work out because it's going to be the hottest weekend in Toronto history if they get another penalty and it costs them the game. He's got to go with Spezza. He's got to go with Blackwell. He's got to go with Kasha. They need the skill and speed to win. It was always the Leafs' plan all along. You can try to get heavier throughout a series. You always have those guys at your disposal. But when it comes to Game 3, I'm trying to game the system. I'm trying to get the more power plays here. I want to be, if we're doing the Philadelphia 76ers equation, I want to be the Sixers team that uses the whistle to their advantage and doesn't blow it for themselves.
Yeah, you want to be playing Paul Reed in those minutes, not DeAndre Jordan. I'm with you. And look, I know there are people who are proponents of you got to have toughness on the roster. You have to have that level of physicality because this, because that, and because this. And that's right. There are situations where you need that stuff. The situation was game one, and it kind of got pooched by Kyle Clifford's decision making. If the situation were still game two, you would say the same about Simmons. But tied 1-1 in a series that has tilted toward or revealed itself to be, look, this is going to be a skill series. If you're going to play it all on special teams, you got to go. You're best built to win a skill series and a talent series. So that's what you got to lean into. Stop trying to be someone you're not, because it's not like you're getting out physical. That it's not like Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmons are the reasons you haven't been out physical.
It's kind of funny, though.
It plays into Tampa's game plan. Like they are wanting the Leafs to get distracted from their highly offensive talent, their shutdown defense. And instead of that, let's focus on pushing and punching and getting penalties. And that's exactly one of the key things that Tampa wants the Leafs to do. And it worked last night. It kind of worked a little bit in game one. So that's exactly just falling into the Tampa Bay Lightning trap and doing it in their arena as well. That's trouble. Like, I know I joked with Colby that it'll be a Leafs heavy arena. Well, it'll still have some Tampa fans that will be all over the Leafs when they start going to the penalty box, if that's the case.
When we looked at this series, and let's just get back to even what we said at the very beginning, when we looked at it and we said, okay, one of the advantages, Tampa takes the second most penalties in the NHL. And how is this going to work out? Well, last night, the Leafs end up with, I think, 16 minutes in penalties. That's not the way that this is supposed to tilt. You cannot be the team that's losing that matchup consistently. That's a one-off, and you lost the game because of it. It's weird being in Toronto where normally we talk about the fourth line. It's all fourth line talk forever. And it's usually completely overstated. This is one of the first times in the history of the city where the fourth line talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs has been correctly assessed and has been a proportionate discussion with the narrative. We'll be back tomorrow to set this sucker up. Plenty more guests. Sean Avery tomorrow. That should be interesting. Justin Gaethje tomorrow. Got a huge fight this weekend. But yeah, we'll set up that massive game three, and we'll see you then. Subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, follow on Twitter and Instagram, @JD Bunkus, @Ailish Vorfahr, @E Blake Murphy. We'll see you then.